This one's for you, Marv.
This show, or just that catchphrase? Are you saying this show is
maybe
for
this
Morph?
Whole show? Maybe this could be the last show we ever do.
This one's for you, Morph.
Okay. This one's for you, Morph. Yeah, whoever Morph might be these days.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly
they,
not
whoever they might be.
Whoever they might be, right? Non-binary, which makes sense, right?
Morph
in
is
a world
truly non-binary,
right? If folks aren't tracking what we're talking about now, they're going to figure out real quick.
Real quick, we are. I didn't. You know, I tried to stay on theme. I knew you wanted to talk about the new Taylor Swift Eras tour on Disney Plus. I know that's what you wanted to talk about. Hence, therefore, we have Taylor in the background.
Because we used to have Bad Blood, you know?
Yeah. We used to.
We fixed that.
Now we attend each other's concerts and we lick each other's carpet rugs.
Well, I was going to say we could just give each other hugs and high five and make each other bracelets, because that's what the real Swifties do, you know?
Okay.
The Swifties, they're called Swifties. They make each other bracelets and they give them to each other at the concerts.
Really?
Yeah. It's a fellowship.
Is a Taylor Swift concert like that? I would like to attend one if it's a good time.
I think it's a good time. I think everybody I've talked to, I've heard from sources, it's good for raising kids, you know? It's wholesome, good music you can
dance wholesome.
To.
She's wholesome.
I would say that. I mean, she might have some sexier edges around her, but look at her. She's a dazzler. She's a dazzler. Look at her. She's not a Papa Don't Preach. I'm in trouble.
She's not Papa Don't Preach.
She's not Papa Don't Preach. She's not like a virgin.
You have a point there. Right.
And she's not like, ooh, my pussy, my back, my pussy and my crack. You know, whatever the fuck.
Madonna strictly said, I'm coming for dicks.
I'm coming for dicks. That's what she said. And so did what's her name when she said, put it in my mouth.
Hmm.
I said, my motherfucking mouth. I'm sprung when I feel your tongue in the crack of my
You are a barbarian.
Every town has an Elm Street.
You know, when family and friends get together, there can also be a lot of drinking and drugging, and that's why it's so important to pick your friends the party, you know what I'm saying.
Meow.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Ghosts and goblins.
Yeah, used to be shithouse.
It's a good change.
Got to catch the red eye.
The Eras Tour. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that dazzler. Perfect. Perfect casting.
If we're going to go ahead and talk about X-Men, I can see her in X-Men somewhere.
The word in the street is dazzler, and I see it. It makes sense. Yeah. Just throw her in this little cameo. She can play a variation of herself already.
I haven't seen her acting chops yet.
Well, I don't know if she's really acting in this movie. It's more of a concert movie, right?
It's a concert movie. I'm just saying, if she were to take part in
the
superhero universe, I haven't seen her acting yet.
Well, that's the place to start it, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to transcend, cross that bridge, so to speak, and go from musician to actor, I feel like the superhero genre is the first perfect stepping stone for that.
Maybe somebody should have told Sweeney that.
Well, she needed to do the step into the adult film world.
She really did.
Yeah, she didn't need to be in Madam Web. She needed to be in Madam Pussy.
Mm. I can't wait for that to hit the hub.
They don't even try to be clever with it. It's like Madam's Pussy, starring Sydney Sweeney, the real Sydney Sweeney, not Sin Sweeney, because you know there's already a play off that. There's got to be, you know, like Jack Napier. He just took Jack Napier's name, and he's probably my favorite black porn star on the market, followed closely by my boy, what's his name, Diesel?
Oh, Shane Diesel.
Shane Diesel.
Yeah.
That Dog Fart Network, that'll get you.
You
got to know your male porn stars, folks, okay? You got to know them. You got to respect them just as much as you respect the female porn stars and vice versa, or vis-a-vis.
Like I said, my guy's still going strong themselves, you know? Rico Strong, Prince Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you don't fuck with that Evan Stone much, do you?
Not so much.
He's an old school guy.
Yeah, that's old school.
That's all.
That's he is old school, but he does have some good story scenarios.
He does great actual
as far
scenes.
As today stuff. I've seen some today stuff. And they're pretty good.
Nina Hartley plays a Canadian with her daughter. He visits Canada as the American, so he's not used to their custom. He starts massaging them, then they start massaging him. You know, she has problems reconciling. He has problems reconciling. Before you know it, it's a twa. You know, and everyone's having a good time. He's still working.
Still working, yeah.
They should just do that. If we get an X-Men movie, just fill it with porn stars. Porn stars that have been around a while, that have some acting chops. Because that's how we get that White Queen. We get a Bella Danger.
You want that Bella Danger as White Queen?
Yeah, we get Asa Akira as Psylocke. Okay. Okay. Or Asa Akira.
Not as Jubilee? You don't want her as Jubilee?
You got to get somebody a little younger, I think, for Jubilee.
Oh, okay. We have to peruse that the circuit, I see.
Well, I wasn't going to say that at all. I don't know why you'd even go there.
I saw the bubblegum in the background. That's the first thing that came to mind.
You want to give me another line there that I can use for the actual cast before we do the open? Because that was good. I'm just hoping you could go a little... Can you give me something a little bit more PG-13 and not do the
a little more PG-13.
Give me that same line.
Okay, so instead of us... how about this? Instead of us talking about Taylor Swift's upskirt, let's talk about the new X-Men 97.
I thought you were going to give me something in between. Something a little dirtier, but just not you-know-what kind of porn, okay?
You didn't want that? You didn't want the Taylor Swift's upskirt?
No, I mean, it's you like a good upskirt?
I love a good upskirt.
Okay, then you really dove into that. I love
a good upskirt.
How do you know? How do you know, Max? How do you know what upskirts are?
I just watch them all day. I love it.
That's his dog, Max, folks, okay, in case you don't know. Which, by the way, where is he? I thought I was going to see him.
Oh, he's downstairs. I should bring his heavy ass up.
All right, maybe at some point.
That's a heavy load to bring upstairs.
It's a heavy load. That's what she said. And welcome to Comic-Con's podcast, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? The people that don't take this shit that seriously. My man, James motherfucking Powell, the Monomoto, the Matamahashi, my co-host with the most on the ZOOM Box 350, and me, your guy.
And me.
Me. Nick Stevens. Okay.
Lots to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. I don't really know where to start, other than I just want to say this and say this right now. Holy shit.
Yeah, jump right into it.
Holy shit.
Like, I got fucking notes.
You got notes.
I got notes, man.
In case you didn't deduce this, folks, we're talking about X-Men 97. We're going to talk about X-Men. I mean, we've been managing to work X-Men more into the podcast, I've noticed, over the last few episodes. Some of us think that there could have been a 90s movie. Some of us don't. Those people will remain nameless. However, regardless of who you are, where you come from, you probably heard of a little animated show called X-Men in circa 1992. James keeps moving over so we can see that full that full Taylor Swift in the background. But you probably heard of a little show called X-Men. Back in 92, it ran for what, 4 seasons? I lost him, folks.
Random 4 seasons at that. A random 4 seasons.
It wasn't shown to us in order.
In order. Right.
To watch it in order, we had to wait for it to actually like come out on VHS or eventually DVD and then eventually Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a remarkable show. I mean, first of all, if you grew up reading X-Men comics or knowing anything about X-Men, or maybe you didn't, maybe for a lot of folks, I would say, wouldn't you say that this animated show was like the first introduction to X-Men?
She's hot with those bangs. Isn't she?
She looks good. She looks good. Yeah, she'd be one hell of a dazzler.
I didn't think Taylor Swift looked that good, but I was just playing around with this fucking background. But goddamn,
you like the bangs?
I like the bangs
when she bangs.
So yeah, X-Men 92 was my intro. I say, how about semi intro to X-Men? I knew of Wolverine before the cartoon show. Yes.
Yes, we knew you probably knew who some of the mainstay characters were.
Yeah, I knew about Wolverine mostly. I didn't know about the Rogues, the Storms. I can honestly say that. Yeah.
I started getting into X-Men right when that cartoon came out.
Okay.
So I started reading the comics.
This is Claremont. Let me get my shit straight. This is Claremont.
No, time. Actually, no, I had to go back for Claremont. I started off reading the Jim Lee run.
This is Jim Lee. Okay.
So this is right on time. And they base this cartoon off that 92 Jim Lee look. So this was 90, 91, 92, at that time frame. I knew about Wolverine in the brown suit. I'd seen him around, but that yellow suit just popped. And they threw him in there. They brought that yellow suit back. I didn't find out till years later that was actually the original suit. That look, the iconic blue on Cyclops with the yellow visor, the Storm in the all-white suit, Jubilee showing up for a good time with that yellow trench coat, Rogue in that costume with that green jacket. Sometimes it's brown. Doesn't matter. Gambit, for Christ's sake, with the trench coat and the pink and the blue underneath. All that shit's like that 90s look. That's what I fell in love with.
The newest characters were Gambit and Jubilee around that time of the show, right? They were the newest characters in the comics.
Gambit was in the comics too, but I didn't know about him until the 90s. And Jubilee, as far as I knew, for as long as I can remember, I thought the show created her.
The show, yeah, that's what I heard too.
I don't know if that's right or not. Somebody could probably email in, write in, tell me I'm wrong. But that's the first time I saw her was the cartoon. Same with Morph. Morph didn't show up until the cartoon. They were supposed to put Warpath in there, but they thought if they killed off the only Native American character, that might be a bad
look. They had Forge prior to that, right?
Forge came later. He did. He came later. He came later in the show. But Warpath is in the opening credits. Somehow he's on the opposite side with the Brotherhood. If you look closely.
The Brotherhood. Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like they made him a bad guy. I don't know. I think his brother, Thunderbird, rode with the Brotherhood for a little bit. Either way, they went with Morph, the guy who could shapeshift into almost pretty much anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was created for the show, but they ultimately ended up using him in the comics down the road.
Mm.
Before I lose everybody. The reason why this show was so impactful was because there hadn't been anything like that. I mean, you used to watch it every Saturday morning, right?
Right.
What, around 10 or 11 on Fox?
It's around that 10 time because X-Men rolled in after Spider-Man and I think we had one more Marvel show going on Saturday mornings too. I can't remember.
Did you have to be a
Marvel show?
Did you have to be a comic guy to dig it?
Not for you didn't need to be a comic guy.
No.
You didn't need to be a comic guy for Spider-Man or X-Men. The way these shows were introduced, you could just jump right into the pool and be immersed.
And they told you everything.
And they told us everything.
And they took you for a ride.
And it was pretty. And it was accurate.
Too. It was accurate.
The stuff with the powers, the origin stories, they were pretty accurate.
The characters were great too. Like you every episode would have like maybe one or two cameos from other characters. Even if they didn't have dialogue, you'd see them in the background. They'd kind of pop in. And that was part of the fun of it, too. So you'd see all these characters that you'd maybe catch a glimpse of in a comic. And if you didn't read comics, it was just fun seeing all these different characters. Down the road, we'd meet Colossus. We'd meet Nightcrawler. We'd meet Omega fucking Red. We'd meet Apocalypse. Sinister. You know, and they followed some storylines, but they kind of did it in a condensed Cliff Notes way for the average viewer to get along.
But even then, those condensed versions of like Days of Future Past and Savage Land, that was pretty good.
And I'm pretty sure that Phoenix Saga went for like six episodes.
That Phoenix Saga, right.
So the show goes away for whatever reason. I mean, it was super popular. I guess maybe they stopped selling toys, so they stopped making the cartoon. And it dies in the vine.
It dies. It dies when? 90 what?
97.
97.
And then flash forward to 2020 fucking four, you know? And here we are.
Well, let's stop in between that time. Were there talks to revive this show? Like in the early 2000s, late 2000s?
Well, we did get some spinoffs. Like around the early 2000s, right. We had some spinoffs because we had the Avengers cartoons coming in. But by that time, you and I were getting a little older. They had an X-Men, a Wolverine and the X-Men spinoff, which was pretty good.
X-Men Evolution,
which was focused more on like the younger alternative, like goth for emo versions of these characters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they would try it. They'd give it a shot.
And those shows ran. Those shows ran a little while.
For at least a season or two. You can
that X-Men Evolution ran at least, I think it's on Disney Plus now, for what, six seasons?
I didn't know it went that far. I thought it was like one or two seasons.
Oh, no. I think it went like six seasons.
You can catch it all on the Disney Plus, folks. Yeah. Or just ask a friend to throw it on the Plex for you, okay?
Yeah.
Or you go to 123movies.com or any other back alley in Sin City. You'll find what you're looking for. But, yeah, they tried. They tried.
But those shows were working on their own stories.
They were trying to...
They weren't working on comic accurate stories.
Yeah, that was probably some influence.
Not with X-Men Evolution?
With Wolverine and the X-Men, they
Wolverine,
they would start covering some different takes on the characters. I think with Wolverine and the X-Men, I think at one point Rogue was fighting with the bad guys. But that actually was true in the comics, too. Like, she started off in the comics as a bad guy. That's how they met her, you know, before she became Rogue that we know, with that fat ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was and fucking flirting around.
And I just went through that episode with Apocalypse. And I can say right now that men are evil. That's just evil.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no reason to draw that ass like that.
There was no reason to.
Because if you go back and look at that episode where it's, what is it, the Four Horsemen and Apocalypse episode in the original X-Men series, before Apocalypse shot her with whatever beam he shot, Rogue's ass was drawn flat as fuck. And as soon as she shot her, the animation like transformed her ass into two voluptuous pumpkins.
I mean,
with a hell of a crack in her ass.
I mean, she had some thickness. She had some thickness on the show. But you're right. That shot, for whatever reason, when he shot her, when he blasted her, and she laid down.
And she laid down.
She fell down. Then she picked herself up a little bit. The way she's looking at him.
She was in morning wood position.
In that foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, kids, you just googs. You just googs. What would they googs to get the image? Rogue ass Apocalypse?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Animated series?
Yeah.
And they deflated it for this show. It's not there.
They went away from it.
Yeah. Those animators just snuck that in because it's never anywhere else in the show.
But yeah, but those animators, they were evil back then because they did the same shit with Little Mermaid's cover, you know, tape cover, when they drew that fucking dick in the pipes.
Those son of a bitches.
Have you seen the dick in the pipes?
I haven't seen the dick in the pipes. I'm sure I could Google it.
For any Kanzi out there that has the original Little Mermaid VHS, and we all know those.
Oh, it's been scrubbed.
Those old Disney VHS cases. They were nice and wholesome, but one guy took it too far because I guess he was getting fired, and the artist drew a goddamn dick in the background of Ariel's dad's castle.
It's not just a dick, it's a goddamn dick.
It's a golden dick.
It's a goddamn golden dick.
It's a golden dick, and you would never spot it unless I told you to spot a dick.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that, right? I mean, you can probably look up whole kinds of hidden naughty images and old
cartoons. Because in Lion King, when Simba,
we're just gonna keep going down the list, okay?
When Simba lays down in the grass and the grass goes into the sky, it says sex.
I didn't know about that one either. I guess I haven't lived. Where have I been?
Where have you been spending your nights?
I've been looking at X-Men cartoons. I guess that's what I've been looking at. How about this X-Men theme? X-Men theme is iconic. Everybody that's anybody that's anybody
what,
knows.
So in my notes, what little changes you see right out the gate?
Right out the gate.
The intro and this show right out the gate.
Right out the gate.
It's the little things they changed, and it's not bad.
It's not bad at all. No, in fact, I think it's on steroids. I think it's been improved.
How so? Hustle.
There's that drums in the beginning.
The drums, right.
You know?
That's new.
And it's got a little bit of a synth beat to it.
Yes, yes.
And they like amped it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's still there. And maybe when you see with that Marvel animation too, you saw a little like...
It's not a lot, but they still kept the black lines.
They still kept the black lines.
The black lines on the characters, right.
Yeah, but you have a little bit of that what if animation tied in with the old animation.
I see.
Yeah. And there's some borderline anime stuff going on here that has like some of that, some of the action sequences, like some of the old cartoons that you and I grew up with, like G.I. Joe or, you know, cartoons that weren't traditionally anime but had that anime style.
Mm-hmm.
God, like when she flips that Sentinel, And everyone's running. And they added some extra action sequences, too. They added more.
Wolverine isn't on that rock.
No, he's not in the jungle.
Yeah, he's not in the jungle, right.
Oh, it looks great. It sounds great. It looks great. Oh, and we still get that, you know?
97.
Not the same guy, though.
Not the same guy.
Not the same guy that's his previously on X-Men.
There are some voice changes. I wanted to talk about that.
All right, let's go with it.
So the episode starts off, and it picks up right where the last season's ended. Charles Xavier's missing, a.k.a. dead, but not really dead. He's probably hanging out with Leandra.
You're not going to get me that. You're not going to say a bullet takes out Professor X. You'll never get me with a saying.
Well, he got shot with an energy thing from Gyrick in the last episode. And his psychic powers went into overdrive, and he slowly started dying. I guess that's what happens when you put his psychic powers in overdrive. And the only way he could live is if he went off to the Shi'ar Empire with Ilandra. Ilandra, his love, the laundry lady.
Yeah.
And so the show starts off with that, but what's interesting is everybody's assuming he's pretty much just gone, mm-hmm. but we all know he's not really gone. We all know he's going to come back at some point, because this is the X-Men. It's a soap
opera. Well, why are the characters saying... Why are the characters playing that, though, when we know that they took him away in space?
They took him away in space.
Why is Scott like...
Because he said he would never be able to live on Earth. He'd only be able to live in the Shi'ar Empire, so he's gone. He's essentially gone. He's going to be like in a... I don't know if that means he's going to be in a comatose state in space or what, with his space pirate girlfriend looking after him. But mm-hmm. he's essentially out of the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott thinks he's going to be... tasked with leading the X-Men, but everyone's in disarray. No one really feels like doing anything. They just want to shoot some ball, make some beignets, and Gambit's in the kitchen.
Some beignets, yeah.
He's always cooking.
A new Gambit. Let's get right to it. A new look for Gambit. How about
look,
that?
New voice.
A new voice.
Yeah, I think it's
that's
a new
not
voice.
Him.
I don't think it's the same guy.
Because I went back to the original. It's similar. So that's not him.
As far as I know, Storm, Rogue, and Wolverine. Scott. I think Scott's new. I think the guy that did Scott in the original is
dead. That's him.
Nah, because if you look up his IMDb, it's a young guy. And I think the guy that did the original Psych passed away a couple years back. Because I remember there being something like that on...
Oh man, whoever the new guy is, he's picked it up.
It's dead on.
It's dead on.
It's
right.
Perfect. You know, are you one of the good guys? Named Cyclops. Yeah, I'm one of the good guys.
Right.
You know, and he's perfect. I think it's right here, actually.
Definitely the good guy.
Oh, and the action.
Right out the gate.
Guess what, folks? People still hate mutants. You know, they still hate them. I want to get into the optic blast and why Cyclops is.
To get right to it, they hopped on some Cyclops and Storm dick for this cartoon.
They did.
Right out the gate, we know that Storm and Cyclops are pretty much the badasses.
I mean, he is like technically the first X-Men,
right?
And he's been at this for a while, so it's nice to see him use his optic blast to do cool things like blast himself back from something, or God forbid, fall out of a plane and use it to fucking break his fall.
And in my notes, we can actually see his eyes.
Yes.
The visor at this point.
Yes.
Never thought that we'd be able to see Cyclops' eyes through the visor.
And why is that important?
That's cool
as shit, right?
Right. Because, like I said, it's little things like that that I thought you can improve upon. And the fact that not just Cyclops' eyes, we also have the eyes for Jubilee and Rogue. We see their eyes.
We actually see Jubilee as an Asian now.
As an Asian, right.
She wasn't quite Asian in the original.
Not quite.
But she's more Asian. I think he was Asian. She sounded more Asian. If you don't know the movie, kids, you gooks. That Rogue, she looks great, but let me ask you this. This is really the only thing I bumped into. I appreciate them bringing back some of the old cast members. Aurora sounded great when she said, "Oh, face my fury."
Right out the gate.
Sounds amazing. Like,
she, she reciting Shakespeare right out the gate.
Right, yeah. Of course she did. She looks great. The mohawk, it's there. It's all there. It's like a long mohawk. It's She looks beautiful. She looks very, very good. I couldn't stop looking at her, especially when they'd zoom in on those blue eyes. But Rogue's voice. Did you bump into her?
Is that Rogue's voice?
It's the original Rogue, and that's
her. That's age. Okay, so that's age at this point.
You heard it too then.
Yeah, right.
It sounded like an old lady.
Right.
Sounds
like old Dolly Parton.
It does. Because she was like, easy, Scott Summers. You're about to have a heart attack.
You get to howling like a lonely kettle left on a fiery stove. But plenty of us at this table have passed so dirty they don't squeak no matter how much spit you got. We've rodeoed more sentinels than I care to count.
You sound like a cat in the middle of a tin cup jamboree.
That's what it sounded like.
But it's coming out of this beautiful, vivacious young woman.
So that is the original Rogue, then.
That's the original Rogue, and I'm pretty sure that's the original Gene, too. But I don't know. Could be wrong about that. Somebody could write in and correct
that
me.
I can't tell. I can't tell if that's the original Gene or not. Because
actually, it might not
she
be.
Didn't hit those Scott.
You know what?
She wasn't it's crying not. Like, right.
You want to tell the Kamikazes what that's all about?
What is that all about?
For whatever reason, she moaned a lot in the original series, folks.
A lot.
And thanks to the internet.
Gene. And Jean Grey's exgasms.
Anytime she had a projection that went too far. So good. The internet will show you miracles with that. God bless the internet these
We're
days.
We're thinking so. I mean,
oh, but no Beast is the original, though.
Beast is the original. How about the Jubilee? I think that's the original Jubilee.
It sounds just like her if it's not. I looked at the IMDb. It looked like a younger person, but that could just be an old photo, you know? Could be one of those things where that's just your old headshot. Mm-hmm. Some of these voice actors don't really update their headshots or even have headshots, so it's hard to say. But goddamn, I'm looking at that storm right now. Oh, Sunspot. He's like the new Jubilee in the show.
He's the new guy.
Okay. He's the new guy. Now, he's from the New Mutants. Initiated people will know him from other teams, but as far as we're concerned, we don't know him from anybody.
No.
What'd you think?
That's a good intro. I'm waiting to see how they roll out his powers.
I like that they're playing the rich card. I like that they're exploiting that he comes from money and he tries to buy everybody off.
Is this the original Sunspot though? Is the kid? Is this the original Sunspot? Okay.
Yeah, he was a brat. He was a rich kid.
Okay.
He didn't want to be an X-Men.
He wasn't. Was he Hispanic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. DaCosta.
DaCosta.
Yeah. So all that spot on. Literally, sun spot on. Huh?
Roberto DaCosta.
Yeah, I like that Danger Room sequence. I like Logan coming right out the gate, putting fucking two claws on this kid's head. Mm-hmm. I thought every character got to shine immensely. I don't think anybody got robbed.
I don't think so either, but we know who shined the most. It was Cyclops, and the fact that we get Storm labeled as an Omega level mutant.
Oh, let's talk about it. That whole sequence. There's a sequence, folks, from start to finish. It's probably some of the best animation I've seen in years. I'm going to say that on record. And I'll say it too. Like, this is probably the best representation of the X-Men I've ever seen in my life. That sequence alone. Because they're in that goddamn Blackbird. Why they didn't pick up on a Sentinel right behind them this whole time?
A big ass Sentinel at that.
I guess when you're talking to your friends, you don't pay attention to the road. You got to look at the road when you're driving, okay, kids?
Wolverine was getting on his nerves that goddamn much.
But even Beast didn't look at the sensors. You didn't have any sensors go off when it's... Jean wasn't with him.
Jean was at the mansion, right?
Yeah, she's pregnant, by the way, folks. She's pregnant. She's got a baby. But, that thing fucking rips the Blackbird in half. Everybody starts flying out. We see Psyche midair take that Sentinel's head off with a blast. Rogue and Storm look at each other and they start flying after people to catch people.
Like,
hey, Morph sis, turns into Angel.
That is true. He did turn into Angel.
Oh, dude. But that Psyche move, that Marvel vs. Capcom move he did.
That blast.
I know you like that.
Blow him down.
That was like some anime shit right there, wasn't it? When he's like, because he had to be 1,000 feet in the air at least.
Right.
He broke his fall.
And the other thing is, I'm glad that this is happening to fucking Cyclops, because I'm not saying he was getting shitted on in the original series or in the comics. But it's time for him to shine, because in the original, the people that got the shine were Wolverine, Storm, Professor X, Jean.
It was mostly Wolverine's show. Rogue did a lot of cool shit. Storm did some cool shit. But Wolverine did... I would say Wolverine, Gambit, and Rogue did most of the cool shit.
Right.
Cyclops was always getting bitched.
Right.
You know? I mean, Wolverine gave him... took the roof off his car and said, "Tell Psych I gave him a convertible." Mm. You know? He fucked up his car. He tried to steal his woman.
Keeps trying to steal his wife.
How many times did Psych go, Jean! Logan? Gene! I mean, he just kept getting bitched. Mm-hmm. And right out the gate, you're right. They show why he's the fucking man. I feel like you and I are the only Scott Summers fans in the entire world sometimes.
So I wonder where did this come from then? Let's give Cyclops his day in the sun. Where were the talks were going on. Say, let's give him his time. His time.
I think they listened to the fans. I think the writers knew that fans. He got sidelined in the original show.
Right.
And definitely sidelined in the movies.
Because the only main storyline I can remember for Cyclops is when he meets Corsair.
Right.
Right.
But that was
Cyclops' story.
But even that, he meets Corsair and the Space Jammers. By the way, that's his father, by the way, kids, who was he thought was dead from a plane crash, but in fact was somehow ended up in space through a time rip and became a space pirate, folks. Or I'm Australian.
A spice girl. With the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
A spice pirate, aye?
It's nice to see that they're giving Cyclops more shine and showing what else he can do with that fucking optic blast. Because that optic blast is a powerful weapon.
I know, I was thinking about it today. Why don't they just let him fucking take those glasses off and go full ham more often? Because I love, there was a scene earlier in the show where these friends of humanity, quote unquote, try to take his fucking...
Oh, yeah. Gotta love those friends of humanity.
His visor off. And he's like, "No, wait, don't." And he even pulled the 1990s knot, you know? And before he laid that whole fucking floor out and blew out all the windows. Because, folks, when he doesn't have that ruby quartz visor, those lasers go full ham. And who doesn't like good laser eyes?
Right. Full on.
You know? How'd you like that club scene when they're in the club looking for Sunspot?
Oh, man, that was nice.
And they got that vanity playing on the overhead.
That was nice. That was nice. Because at this point now, the producers behind this show knows that this show is pretty much for adults at this point.
It's for all of us, yeah.
Right, it's for adults.
It's not for the kids, but I would argue kids could
watch
it.
I mean, it's still for
it.
Kids, but I mean, you got Wolverine over there saying, "Damn," you know. I don't remember no cursing in 92.
No, and you also got Rogue getting like finger banged by Gambit with the glove on, you know,
in the bathroom. Yeah.
Aren't they such a great couple?
They are.
It just melts my heart. I love it.
They are.
Because he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a ladies man. He's been around. Mm-hmm. But he's willing to just be with her. And I mean, love Morph and Logan in this too. They're chummy.
You know, Jubilee adores Gambit, but he doesn't want to take that chance.
No, I mean, who does want to take that chance, you know?
There's some folks out here that would. Hey, I forgot. We forgot Bishop.
Yeah, he kind of got sidelined a little bit, but that's okay. That's all right.
What? How do you throw Bishop into this? How did they throw Bishop into this?
I'm so glad you said that because I you know me, I'm an equal opportunity employer, but I don't understand. I just don't. I've never understood Bishop's importance with being on a team. It's like,
oh, okay.
I get it. He absorbs power. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fires it right back. Okay, mm-hmm. But we already got a guy that absorbs energy and he throws cards. So can we just... Now, he doesn't absorb the body in his body, but he absorbs it in his fingers and throws shit and can do cool shit. Apparently, he can heat up Logan's claws if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've just never understood. Like, I don't understand. You're right. I don't know what he's doing here. Because in the original show, he came back in time from the future.
He was a future guy, right? He was a future guy.
Yeah.
So is he stuck here, or is he just hanging out for a good time?
I don't remember him being stuck.
And he's not hooking up with Storm. He's not hooking up with anybody else.
No, and he has a haircut.
I like his haircut.
I don't like the haircut.
Oh, you like the mullet?
I want that mullet back.
Okay, so if you don't know anything because about X-Men.
I think the original voice, Bishop, is our guy from the detective from the original Terminator.
Is it?
The black guy.
Is it really?
Right. I can't remember his name because that actor, he was on Family Matters a lot. He was Carl's mom's boyfriend.
Hmm. Carl's mom's boyfriend did the voice of the Bishop original show.
Right. Paul Winfield. That's what I'm trying to think of. Paul Winfield.
Not to be confused with Paul Hardcastle.
There we go.
That Gyrick scene in the prison.
I think we needed a Batman there. I think we needed a Batman.
We needed a Batman there, just waiting in the wings. But how about this? Batman's there, and they show up, and he's like, oh, wrong room. Sorry, I'm next door.
I'm going to need a cup of coffee.
It's going to be that kind of night. That's Storm, man.
Right.
Because she's under the impression, hey, you guys tried to kill Xavier. So now humanity should be on our side and have sympathy. And he's like, nah, bitch, we still hate your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No matter what these people, what this team has done over the years.
No matter how hard you try.
These fuckers still hate them and want them. And Senator Kelly said in the original series, he wanted mutants in internment.
Right. Right. A lot of parallels
Holy
here, folks.
Shit.
People fear what they don't understand to the point of murder, death, kill.
And at this point, it should be more mutants in the world at this point.
Well, that's another thing I love about this, too, is like this. The original show did a great job of taking us kind of all over the world. And we're only two episodes in with the show, and they've already taken us to the Sahara Desert. They take us to, they show us glimpses of Genosha, you know? And... Magneto shows up, takes all the Morlocks that have been sleeping in the sewer, and takes them to Genosha. Like, why the fuck hadn't the X-Men thought about that?
Why? And he said that. He said, why didn't Xavier do this anyway? All the money he has.
All the money. Why didn't you move him to someplace nice?
Because they were bums.
They were bums. They were poor people.
They were poor people.
I let them sit in the sewer.
They didn't come from affluent families like Gene and Scott.
No, they weren't paying the tuition.
Right, they weren't paying the tuition.
That's what it is.
Right. Freaking Morlocks, fucking bum.
But wait, I skipped over the Sentinels again.
Oh my God.
That Sentinel battle scene.
They couldn't have started off with better villains. Love that Sentinel. The fact that the Friends of Humanity had many Sentinel arms and then it was just one hunk of junk of an arm sitting in their warehouse.
Because it kind of makes sense, like just like in the Avengers movies, like when you see the Chitauri weaponry showing up in that Spider-Man movie, when they're cleaning shit up, like people would do that. People would just take the remnants, try to tool it, retool it. And that's what they did with the leftover Sentinel parts. Like there was a fucking Sentinel arm hanging out in that skate shop, you know?
Man. That's what happens. Can you imagine just seeing a piece of junk like that?
Just laying around.
In a junkyard somewhere. A big-ass Sentinel arm.
Big-ass purple hand.
Purple hand
with a pulsar ray sticking out of the palm. And we're about to come up on that that famous scene right now. They're in the jet. Bishop, Morph, Rogue, Gambit, Storm,
and Master Mold is still hanging around,
just chilling in the desert,
cranking out signals out of the crack of his ass.
Bolivar Trask is apparently just hanging out in the desert with him.
Master Mold is a guy, right? Or is he a woman?
I think he's non-binary. Or it, you know. Oh, God, this scene.
We do get to see Morph doing more at this point with his transformations.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Like you said, with him changing into... He changed into Archangel, right?
He changed into Archangel with the Archangel suit, which was interesting.
Right.
He had the Angel suit with the Archangel wings.
Right.
He goes after Logan. Storm grabs Gambit. They're hurtling towards the ground.
Because it's a hell of an action scene.
Oh, it's so... I mean, could they do this
in a movie? Compare this. So, 97 compared to 92's Sentinel
action
fight. Yeah.
Blows it out of the water.
97 blows it out of water?
Blows everything out of the water. Like I said, I'll say it right now. It's the best representation of X-Men ever.
I don't know. I guess I'm still nostalgic. I like that original.
We saw Gambit jump on Wolverine's back, charge up his claws, then morph turn into the blob so he could belly flop Wolverine up into the sky like 50 feet. And by the way, I rewatched
this. And one
this.
Clean slice.
Not just one clean slice. He blew that fucking head clean off. And then when the camera pans back to Wolverine at the end of the show, his shirt's blown off. Like I think he melted part of his skin on that fucking attack.
Yeah.
Like, he went straight into that helmet, but they can't show us all that. You know? I mean, Trask, how long have you been hanging out in the desert with these fucking half-decapitated robots?
Right. And we see Beast.
Beast?
Even getting down. And starts controlling it.
Right after he picked one up. Did you see him pick
brains
up his foot?
Brains and muscle combined. That's what I wanted to see in the original, too.
Oh yeah, he nails down the brains. He's reciting poetry. He's humming along to Mozart. Right. Bishop again gets kind of sidelined. We see him charge up and shoot a sentinel.
Because I don't think we need Bishop in this lineup right now.
Don't need him right now, do we?
Right.
It's nice to have another guy around.
Yeah, but he's not needed in this lineup.
He's not needed.
If he comes from the future again talking about some Nimrod shit, then yeah, he's needed.
He's great for that.
Yeah.
In the original, I liked him because when he showed up, he was just crazy. Because he had traveled back in time so many times, so he was kind of... Remember they'd always play that blues riff when he'd come on the screen?
Right. Because his intro into the show fucked up the show for at least a good 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah, I don't
Because he messed up shit. He messed up shit.
Yeah, I don't... Because he was pretty new in the 90s.
Yeah.
Hence why he had the mullet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just threw him in the cartoon because he was pretty new in the books. So it makes sense that he would show up. I just don't understand why he's on the team.
Did you want Jubilee in the desert?
Nah, it's okay.
You didn't need her.
No, because when Psych goes, when he touches his little ex and he says, give him the forecast.
Oh.
And she walks on that fucking sand. And
I didn't notice that she wasn't there. I didn't even notice she
I
wasn't
didn't
there.
Notice. It's like she hung back, like Scott said, hang back and come in when we need you.
And then them Sentinels said that we have an Omega level.
Oh, we have an Omega level. Which I never realized she was an Omega level. That makes sense. Because she turns the whole desert into glass.
Because there's only two Omega levels. That's Jean and Storm, right?
No, actually...
as far as this team right here. This
oh,
team
yeah,
right,
yeah.
This
yeah.
team that we have right now.
Because I was about to say Magneto's Omega.
Yeah, Magneto's Omega himself. So,
She turned that sand into glass.
Right.
I just need to say that one more time. Like, she
and
turned
one
that
big ass tornado.
Dude, the animation was sick.
Cause it's on that what if animation. They got those guys to come in and like, hey, can you add a little bit here?
Can you add a little bit on this?
Can you put a little spit on it for us?
Can you spit on it?
Yeah.
Spit on it before you put it in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going full ham on this, folks. If you haven't watched this cartoon, you need to fucking watch it. That's the episode.
Right, and we're in for a ride. That's the first episode.
That's just the first episode.
What a way to reintroduce this show.
And apparently, unbeknownst to us and the Super Friends, Xavier left everything to Magneto, and we find that out at the end of this episode.
Right, left it all to him, who's wearing a different suit.
How do we feel about that new suit? We don't like it.
Stocking gloves.
It's because that's what he wore during the trial in the comics, okay? I think it was that Uncanny X-Men 200 or some shit. I don't know the issues.
He looks like Nuclear Man.
Superman. Die, Superman.
Die, Superman.
Yeah, Logan's shirt's blasted off. That means he fucking blasted himself.
Yeah, he got melted. Yeah, he got melted. That master mold, that head came off, but he left a mark.
It left a mark.
Yeah.
Does it hurt when they come out? Every time.
And this is not original Magneto voice, right?
It's not, but I really like it.
You like this voice?
It's really good. I like that when he says, to me, my X-Men.
He was really milking it, too. He was milking the fucking episode.
He was milking. Yeah. He must have said it 2 or 3 times.
But he didn't bitch them, though.
No,
he didn't bitch them. He treated them all with respect. Scott is like, no, you son of a bitch. You did all this shit in the past. We are not going to trust you. get the fuck out of our house.
Because we know that he and Xavier grew up as friends, and we right. know that they were enemies as well. And that's the whole thing that we love about it, them like being the you know, you want humans and mutants to coexist. I want to fucking enslave or kill all the humans.
And I serve Cock to Rogue.
I serve all the Cock to Rogue, which, by the way, how about that little deep cut, apparently? How about that?
Was that in the original series? I know he kidnapped her, right?
So in the comics, she got stuck in the Savage Land with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they hooked up.
Huh.
And then in the Age of Apocalypse run, in that alternate reality, they're married and have a kid.
Hmm.
So it's interesting. And I think the way they explained it in the comics was she, for whatever reason, her powers and his powers canceled each other out because of the magnetism. And that's why, yeah, comics, kids, hashtag comics. And that's why they could touch each other and he could be okay. And she wouldn't steal his powers at the same time.
Yeah, but I like it.
I like it too. I like it too. And I like that tension. She's like, that happened right. a long time ago, motherfucker.
Right. Because it's still like just an old man taking advantage of a young woman. You gotta love that.
That's why you like it. Yep. And, but the way he did it too, the way he's like, I'm surprised you'd let yourself be alone with me after everything we've been through. Like, that's a fucking balls to the wall, cocky
like,
way to
say. How many times has he used magnetic innuendos with her?
Mm. How many times has he made her come and like spray?
No, how many times has he used, like, anytime he wanted some ass from Rogue catchphrases to
get her? I see what you're saying. Like, we're drawn to each other,
right?
Even though we're polar opposites.
Do you want? Does your South Pole want to?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, your South Pole. Well, it's a distinct possibility. I might have just missed some of those in the books. You know, okay. Read some books.
Okay.
X-Men 97.
Yeah, but as of right now, I don't see a big romance between Rogue and Gambit right now. It seems like it's just they're still on regular terms.
They've been through a lot. They're close, but they've been through a lot. You can tell the whole team is kind of. They don't really know what to do. They kind of had that team moment with the Sentinels again. Like, yeah, we can do this. This is just taking out the trash for us.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to do this. We've done it a million times.
It was easy peasy. It was easy.
We saved the world a million times. We know how to do this. Mm-hmm. But do we look at Scott as the leader? And that's why he gets a little bitched, because he's like, oh, nah, man, because I thought I was going to be running the ship. But you left it to him?
Mm-hmm.
But then Jean's like, no, let's just raise a baby. Magneto goes to the UN on trial. How'd you feel about that whole
willingly,
thing?
Willingly.
Willingly. To show them.
He was about to, you know, veggie chopped the rest of those security guys coming to the mansion with the helicopters.
Yeah, they said the guns were plastic. Don't worry. Think
they keep,
twice.
They keep underestimating that Magnus.
Look, first of all, you don't show up to a guy that can control metal with three metal helicopters.
You don't.
You better drive an all-plastic vehicle with an all-plastic gun, you know?
Because how old is Magneto at this point?
I mean, he survived the Holocaust, so he's got to be in the 90s. What is that?
That's why I go... But let's take in consideration his mutant genes, his powers.
Let's assume
Keep him very youthful, I guess.
He works out. He's got some good buys and tries.
Oh, yeah. Magneto does look good.
You know, and he's got that long hair that... His long hair is doing some extra acting in some of the scenes, too. He's a good-looking guy.
I see why Rogue likes that. You know?
Everybody
that's why she has that white patch.
Oh, yeah, she's got a little bit of that little swirl.
Right.
Yeah, that salt and pepper. All the X-Men are jacked, though. Isn't it great? Like, every X-Men works out. I think that's that X gene. Because you never see him working out. You do see him playing some basketball and swimming.
Yeah.
But you can't get that rip from basketball.
Not like that Scott Summers rip.
Nah, man. I mean, they're all tone.
Yeah, Cyclops still holds that bar.
There's never a fat guy that's just kind of hanging out.
Except for the
Blob, and he's like massive. Right.
Just solid.
Everybody is like in great shape.
I mean, we still see Storm in her pink outfit.
Ugh.
Even though she has lost all her powers. We're going to get it back, folks. She's going to get it back.
She's going to get it back.
She's going to get it back. There's no way they're going to let this show run
and not give this motherfucker her powers back after all that shit she pulled in the first episode.
How do you like Magneto showing up in the opening credits like that now that he's leading the team?
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. There is nothing about these two episodes that I don't like.
There's nothing that I didn't like. I feel kind of weird because, I mean,
aside from the fact that Jean is pregnant and she can't do as much, that's the only downside. Because I feel like if Jean didn't have to be pregnant, I feel like they would have unleashed Jean the way they deal with Cyclops and Storm.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like they can only do too much anyway, though.
Right.
And I feel like that's one of the things I liked about the show and the comics was that depending on what was going on, it was very rare to see them all on one mission. Sometimes there'd be some hanging back at the mansion. Like, because even when they go to the UN, for whatever reason, Logan's hanging out at the mansion drinking a beer. You know? And then when Jean goes into labor, this is probably my favorite scene of the whole episode. One of my favorite scenes. When Jean goes into labor, he goes, "What is it, Jean? Is it apocalypse?
Is it apocalypse?"
Like, why did he... he draws
he
his
went
claws.
Right there. That was funny.
He didn't go to like a B-level villain or like...
He went straight to apocalypse.
He went straight to apocalypse. And he was ready. He was ready to throw down. He had the claws out.
Because they kept Wolverine funny. Because even when they got to the hospital, and he was like, the doctor was like, "I can't operate on her because more than likely she's going to need a C-section." And then Wolverine, he's just being Wolverine. Claws come out. "I'll show you a C-section."
Right. You're going to kill the doctor? He was great.
But then we see another aspect of Rogue that we didn't see in the first show. Rogue can absorb people's mental capacities and stuff.
She absorbed.
She can become a hell of a surgeon.
She absorbed the doctor's OBGYN, knowledge, you know? for at least a day. How long do you think that stays when you absorb
how
the
long?
Knowledge?
I say at least a couple hours.
48 hours?
Not 48. Maybe a day.
I don't know. She looked like she fucked him up when she did it too.
Damn.
He was like, "Ah."
As I'm thinking, she only takes powers. I didn't know she just takes knowledge.
She takes memories too. Remember, she got
memories.
She got Carol Danvers' memories for a few days.
Oh yeah, and then she took Archangel's memories too.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So she can get like the stuff that's deeply imprinted in your head. So for us, if Rogue took our energy, she would just get a bunch of Batman 1989 quotes.
Right. Or else she'll see what Bruce Willis saw in Unbreakable in my head. "I like your house."
But that version will be on an obscure porn site.
Yeah. Yeah, but the second episode, even stronger. You know,
yeah, well,
because we get to see Magneto still unleash his power, but he pulls back.
Well, it happens after the January 6th
After the January 6th, right.
And that's exactly what that was, right?
That was
there.
Very January 6th.
It was so
you can't
January
tell 6th. Me anything else.
No, because let's be real. Those people are the anti-mutants.
Right.
They would show up with the red hats. I'm pretty sure I saw a few red hats.
Right. I guess I'll show up with a FOH hat. They're like, "Hey, that's not with us."
How surprised were you when Morph turned into Lady Deathstrike out of nowhere?
Wow.
Oh, dude.
I didn't see that coming.
No. And then the Colossus.
Like, of all people.
And then Psylocke. Like.
And then Psylocke. And then he throw in Colossus?
Oh, yeah, he did. I didn't know he could. I knew he could change into people. I didn't know he could, like, change into people with their weapons, too. Like, that was dope.
I didn't know that either.
Because I thought that was a Mystique move. But he was able to block the blast as Colossus. So I guess he gets their powers too.
I didn't notice that. Yeah,
because I thought that was a. Because doesn't Mystique do that? Oh, maybe Mystique doesn't get their powers. Maybe Mystique just gets their look, their visage. I don't know. This is
right because when she turned into Wolverine, he cut her claws off.
That's right.
Right in right. The movie.
That makes sense. Yeah. So what did he really cut off of her? Her dick.
What did he cut off then? Because maybe her fingernails.
There you go. We'll right. Go with that. That's more PG.
But then let's go deeper then. How did she make them come out?
With a push?
A push of okay. What? Oh, wow.
because they used to have that
stuff. That wasn't totally explained to me. Yeah.
And I'm looking at Magneto's stocking arms right now.
Oh man.
It's not a look that holds up. I guess in the late
80s. It doesn't. Because I need that helmet on his face.
Me too.
I need that helmet.
Although I appreciated what he said. I like that he said, for years, I was wearing it to keep him out as an enemy. But in reality, and Rogue finishes his sentence, you wanted to keep him out because if you felt him emoting how much he liked you, how much he cared for you, you thought maybe it would stop you from being bad. Mm-hmm. And he was right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the helmet actually helped him stay the course, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is just, you know, do you think Magneto's really turning over a new leaf?
No, I think he's behind this whole thing.
Which whole thing?
I think he's behind the whole thing. Like, the behind the Friends of Humanity getting pardoned, you know. I think it was all a part of his plan, you know.
So now he's X-Men on his side.
He's gonna gain the trust of the X-Men. He's gaining the trust of the UN, all just to turn it over to the Brotherhood.
You don't think the will is real, or do you think the will is really real?
The will is real. The will is real, but I think Magneto has manipulated this stuff.
Whose baby is that? Is it really Jean?
Oh, you don't think it's Jean's baby?
Well, who's that lady that shows up at the end of the episode? Is that the real Jean?
What is that?
Because I'm thinking
from the future.
I'm thinking that's Madeline Pryor. Madeline Pryor was a clone that Mr. Sinister made of Jean.
Mm-hmm.
After Jean's death in the comics, I'm thinking maybe this pregnant Jean isn't the real Jean.
I don't know who else it could be.
Because remember, he's like, Jean?
Right.
We got two Jeans in the mix?
I was just thinking she was from the future or something.
We got to get that Mr. Sinister back in this bitch.
Right. Oh, are we going to replay the same villains? Now that's one thing.
I think we should have revisits.
Revisits? But we're done with Sinister.
I mean,
definitely don't want to see... what's Storm's guy?
Oh, the Shadow King.
Shadow King. Oh.
Yeah, I don't need to see.
Even
that.
Though, if they play it right, he could still be a hell of a villain. You know.
Well, I never get tired of Apocalypse.
Never. Yeah, you can always give me some Apocalypse.
And I never get tired of Juggernaut.
Right. I'm sure that's coming.
I really wouldn't mind seeing some new or at least some enemies we didn't
see. Phoenix shit.
Don't need to see any Phoenix shit, even though with this animation, I wouldn't mind at least a flash.
Oh, you wouldn't mind seeing it?
That Rogue, I'm looking at that Rogue right now, too. She looks great.
Because they enhance their eyes.
That's what it is. Their faces.
Right. Their faces. You can really get personality out of Jubilee now, you know?
I know. I feel like maybe I shouldn't be saying this kind of thing on a podcast, but I think like this is the kind of cartoon I'd want to like... eat a bunch of mushrooms and just sit back and fucking go to town.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Just trip balls.
Mm.
You know? It's a shame that they don't let us experiment with drugs at the women's prison. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't want to get popped while I'm doing my rounds with you know.
Well, I mean, Lorraine and E-Block, she gives it out to the COs on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Go down there and check her out.
I can just put that out there on the cast like that? Okay, great. I'll go down there and check it out then. Yeah, that Rogue. Yeah, they definitely... There's no arse. They took away the arse. It's right. gone. It's just flat.
Right.
Why would they do that? They can't even give us the cheeks?
Because it wasn't right when it was done back in 92. That wasn't right.
You say that, but I mean, they managed to give us full definition of Magneto's arms and his legs. Six packs.
I mean, but you got that with... When in the first episode, when Scott hit that pose,
you couldn't.
Whew, that's Scott Summers.
You couldn't just inflate that tush a little bit.
What a heartthrob!
What a heartthrob! Scotty Summers is he the MVP of the show thus far, or is it still
he's
good
the
to Storm?
MVP of the show to me? Yeah. If Storm hadn't got hit with that shit, then it would have been co-MVPs.
But Magneto taking everybody out of the UN. Now that was dope.
That was
took them into the upper stratosphere.
Right, and they were freezing.
Oh, my God.
They were freezing. And Magneto said, I can smite you if I wanted to.
Right.
Love that smite.
Oh, smite's a great word. You don't
right,
get
but
a lot
he
of...
held back. He held back for a reason, and I think this is my thought. I just think he's behind it because it worked out. Everything worked out too good in his favor for me. With that ride and everything that happened, you have the X-Men trusting you now. You have the world trusting you now. Now he can crush
the only reason why I'm a little doubtful is I can't imagine him working with those people like that without just killing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because those people have done horrible things. And he did stop a bunch of them in the sewers, too. Mm-hmm. But you're saying maybe that's even part of an act.
That's even part of it, right.
Because he didn't kill them.
Nope.
He just left them in the sewer trapped by some metal rods. You think we're going to show any killing in this series?
I don't know. Because did we ever see killing in the original? I don't think so.
I guess characters died off, didn't they?
They died, yeah.
But it was like saw anybody
get murdered.
No, I guess. It's not like Invincible where people are just dying left and right.
Right.
Getting torn in half. Are you watching any of that?
Not yet. I'm gonna get into it.
Did you watch any of the second season?
Oh yeah, I'm caught up on the second season. I haven't caught up on the
second part of the second season.
Yeah,
it's pretty solid, man.
Yeah,
it's pretty solid.
And stuck in my Shogun era.
You're stuck in the Shoguns,
and trying to figure out who is the Acolyte.
Let's talk about it for a second. We watched the trailer together.
Looking, the theory out there right now, I don't know if the Kanzis are thinking the same thing. The theory out there now is that red saber belongs to Darth Plagueis the Wise. Who is Palpatine's mentor.
The one who taught Palpatine.
Right, he had such a knowledge of the dark side.
That's many believe
selling Anakin.
Many believe to be unnatural.
Unnatural.
Let me ask you a question.
I love the cock.
Did you read the same thing I read, indicating that this is supposed to be like 100 years before the Luke Skywalker saga?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So 100 years that puts us at dark Darth.
So I don't know if that is High Republic then. Because High Republic is thousands of years before Luke.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So 100 years ain't
shit. That's the only reason people are like, it's possible. This is possibly Plagueis.
So we could get a young Jabba at some point.
You can get a young Jabba and you can get a young Palpatine.
Could we get a young interpreter, Jabba's interpreter?
Did Jabba no bother? Did he have a script? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
No, he just ran with it.
Dejola.
Chula Jabba in there.
That Jabba talk. It's wonderful. If you could get away with that during a job interview, you're wonderful in my
eyes.
If
you could do it with a straight face.
And you could do it with a straight face.
Mr. James Pout, go ahead, have a seat. We got your resume here, and we think you look great. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Dejola Wanga. Dejola.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Dejola Wanga.
Right, Zibbity Doodah. Listen, this is a manual labor job. Have you done any kind of manual labor before?
Dejaba no bother.
I'm sorry, no bother what?
Dejaba no bother.
Oh, it says here you're from Tatooine. Is that a real place? I don't even know where that is.
De Wanga?
I'm sorry. To pull that off.
He said things and he ended it with a question mark, and C-3PO would interpret that.
Well, it's smart. It's always good to end, to answer a question with another question. That's a baller move right there.
What is it, Gene? Is it Apocalypse?
That's right.
Bib Fortuna. That's his name.
Bib Fortuna. That's right. I love the Bib Fortuna. I get a little bit of guac on it with a little bit of Salisbury. Jabba no bother. Yeah, I mean, I'm mildly excited for the Acolyte. I mean, I'm there. I'm gonna watch it, but I'm not over head over heels.
That Carrie Ann Moss is why you're going, right?
That's really why I'm going.
That's why you're going. That Trinity,
you know. That's really why I'm going. That Trinity brings me back.
She should have been a Jedi before she broke the Matrix, you know? Mm,
she did break that fucking woke-ass Matrix, didn't she?
She could have been a good Jedi. When I think about, what's that, 99? That's when Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace was what, 2000, I think? 2001? Yeah, it could have worked. Carrie Ann Moss could have been a Jedi Knight.
Phantom Menace was 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that
was. Oh yeah, so that, right there. So yeah, Matrix right 99 too.
Because we got to do the 25th anniversary
of Matrix.
Phantom Menace.
Oh, Phantom Menace. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go see it because they're putting it back out in theaters,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gonna talk about it.
Mm.
And all the kamikazes are gonna. Oh, I just watched. Oh, that Deathstrike into the Colossus, into that Psylocke. See, she's got the swords, too, so it's like you turn into her.
And this is watch number what for you?
This is my third time watching it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed.
So you just didn't want to go back to the old episodes? And
oh, I'm going to do that tonight, that's right.
You're going to do that tonight?
It's, okay. It's a good lullaby.
Uh-huh.
There's some blood in this. Scott has blood from his mouth after when he's getting up.
Right, because he beat his ass pretty bad.
I don't think there was blood in the old show.
There was bruising.
Bruising.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're right about the faces, too. Storm's face.
Mm-hmm. Like, but Storm really... always had her eyes, though. Storm had her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Rogue's and Jubilee's eyes. They were kind of just dotty.
Yeah.
From the original series, you know. The way Bruce's were in the animated series until the... That Batman and Robin came along and they gave him bright blue eyes.
Gave him those bright blue eyes that you love so much. Those dead blue eyes. That's so good, man.
X-Men 97.
I guess this episode was really just us gushing all over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else to say about Invincible.
It's 100. It's 100.
It's 100.
They picked up right where they left off. Like, it's nothing missing. Nothing they did extra. Nothing woke about it.
No, and they gave it some good twists, too.
And we got a good story to go off of at this
time. The script is great.
Yeah.
Like,
no one was overly corny.
No, everyone was just right on. Like I said, nobody was marginalized, really, except for Bishop, but, you know, nobody really cares.
Right. Nobody cares. They Jabba no bother.
And Jabba no bother. And... God, and just when that cold place goes dark and you see her eyes light up, I like a good Storm with her eyes lit up.
Mm-hmm.
When those eyes go white, you know? I just love the X-Men. I've always loved the X-Men. I love the world. I love the costumes. I don't know what it is. Like, they're just cool. X-Men have always just been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know we fuck with Avengers first in the MCU, and I don't know what parallel universe out there it would be opposite, but when they finally figure out how to bring the X-Men, I feel like if they bring them into the way they brought them into this show, then you have yourself.
But then how much of this do you think can be translated to live action?
I'm hoping that they use some of this and make it like the same thing. In other words, kind of like what they did with Captain Carter. They used her character from What If and brought her into the movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of hoping they use this animated show as a way to kind of introduce everybody to them, and then we just throw them in. You know, because the What If kind of blends in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's so good. It's just so good. And who doesn't love a ragtag group of mutants fighting for humanity? You know what I mean?
And the when they were creating these doggone superheroes, like, I wonder who came up with these powers, because they're iconic powers now.
Mm-hmm.
Because aside from Superman, you can't just give any hero at this point laser type eyes, because you're going to be copying either Superman or you'd be copying Cyclops.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But with Cyclops, it was great because, like, no, he's not like Superman. He needs a special device to help control it every time he opens his eyes.
Right. And it's not fire.
Right.
It's an optic
blast. Concussive blast.
Concussive blast. And like,
But they're showing their powers and stuff at the on the end. Oh my God, this
but he can control it.
Right.
That's what makes it great. He can go full ham with it, or he can fucking just a little bit. Imagine being able to do that with your cum, like being able to control how much you cum.
Oh, well, I think that's you know, if you can do that, that's probably a little bit of a erectile dysfunction, you know?
No, I mean how much you can cum. Imagine what coming, like you get erect. That's not the problem. But then
you want to cum or you want the orgasm? Which one is it?
No, I want to say like
the feeling of the orgasm.
Mutant power is like you can cum like a gallon of cum or like a drop of cum.
Yeah, but I think I would rather have the feeling more than I would like to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
My fluids.
I see what you're saying. So it doesn't matter how much. It doesn't matter how much fluids you give.
Yeah.
You just want to enhance your.
I just want to enhance my feeling.
So you don't want to just like.
Suddenly I remember my Charlemagne.
You don't want to do the errata asphyxiation where it's supposed to prolong the.
Right.
You don't want to go out like David Carradine. Why am I laughing? That's horrible. That's a horrible way to go. What a way to go. Just standing there and choking yourself out while you're rubbing one out. I have heard that works. Taylor, what do you think about it?
What about that upskirt?
Is there an upskirt?
She is hot.
She's messing you up. Your allergies are...
Right. Jesus.
Your nose is running.
It's gushing blood.
God damn, it is worse.
It's the bangs.
It's the bangs. It's the bangs, yeah.
It's the bangs.
I like it.
It's not so much the allergies. It's that son of a bitch downstairs. He's shitting.
He's fucking you up?
He's fucking me up.
I want to see him.
You want to see him?
I want to see him.
You want to hear the...
Can we get him on the mic?
You want to get him on the mic?
I want to hear what he has to say. We'll close with this. Max, buddy, come on. Tell us how you feel. Say something for the record. Tell the people how you feel.
Let me get him.
Okay. Look, folks, if there's anything we said on this show that made you ponder your existence, question your mortality or your own morality, or maybe even why you tune into this show, just remember at the end of the day, it's just fiction, okay? Don't take this seriously. If you haven't watched X-Men 97, what are you waiting for? I mean, we spoiled half the damn show for you. Watch this thing. You know, Mr. Powell's going to bring Max into here. He's going to throw him on the mic. There he is right there. The mascot of Comic-Con's podcast. Oh, Maxi boy.
Okay.
Oh, because he's a good boy.
Thanks for having me on the show. I love cock.
He loves it. He loves it.
I love it.
But what kind? What kind's your favorite, buddy?
I love mutant cock.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best.
The best.
Let me take him away before he pisses on me.
Okay.